go. All right, yeah. That's a Yankee joke. That was bad. Where you do that? Can you hear me? No. All right. Go ahead and take your Bible. Go to Romans chapter 9. Romans chapter 9, please. I beat you there. You're a little slow. What's going on this morning? I'm kidding. I'm glad you're here this morning. Yes, Pastor Jesse came down ill, and he asked me to speak this morning, which I'm very grateful for. I do appreciate all the kind comments from last week. This is something I have been studying a lot. I'm going to hinge off of what I spoke about last week. If you were not here last week, that is okay. If you would like to see what I spoke about last week, you can go on YouTube, you can go on Sermon Audio, search up our church, search up Bible Line, you can watch that. But today I'm going to talk about a topic called How Beautiful. A verse may come to mind. If that's the case, that's a good thing. You're thinking of the right verse. So Romans 9, we're gonna summarize through these scriptures of Romans 9, chapters 9 through 11. And I'm going to hinge off of what I talked about last week. Last week, just a little bit of a recap. The whole purpose of God and what he did through Jesus Christ was redemption. It was all about redemption. Redemption through Jesus Christ's blood. And we see how last week I spoke about how Israel had rejected God. They would put the law and their traditions and even sinful things such as idol worship and their sins. They got in the way of the truth of what God was trying to present to them. They put other things above God, and therefore came their fall. I talked about the idea of the stumbling stone, the rock of offense, this idea that God would be a stumbling block to them due to their sin, their transgression, their rejection of him. The truth would be right in front of their eyes, yet they would reject it. And this morning I'm going to hinge off of that. We're going to talk about in Romans chapter 9. Look quickly with me to verse number 1. Verse 1 says, I say the truth in Christ. I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost, that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. As I was preparing, even for last week and for this morning, I bring myself to tears. I often weep over these scriptures because I understand what Paul is, his sentiment, his feeling here. I understand that. And I have friends, and one friend in particular, who I weep over because I want him to understand the truth. I want him to understand that salvation is by grace through faith, by believing in Jesus Christ as his Savior. And Paul is crying out here saying, I wish that I could be accursed so that my brethren, his physical brothers, the Jews, would trust Christ as Savior. I wish I could take the curse for them. He was willing, he might say, I would go to hell if they would just believe in Jesus Christ. He was willing to give that up. How beautiful. Verse 4, who, his brethren, who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption and the glory and the covenants and the giving of the law and the service of God and the promises, whose are the fathers and of whom, as concerning the flesh, Christ came, who is over all, God blessed forever. You see, Israel, the Jewish nation, those were his people that he had chosen. He had set them. He didn't make them saved, right? They had a choice, and we clearly see that they rejected him. But he chose them. He gave them the law through Moses. He gave them the covenants, the promises. He gave them the tabernacle. They were to be the ones that were going to be a light to the rest of the world. That was the whole purpose, because the entire purpose of God, the entire purpose of Jesus Christ, the Messiah, is redemption, that God would redeem. His whole purpose was to redeem Israel, to redeem the Gentile world. We're going to talk about it in a little bit. But Abraham, during his time, before God had spoken to him, everyone was a heathen. The whole world. There was no really differentiating factor between Jew and Gentile. Everyone was on the same plane. But God would choose Abraham and bring a nation through his line to reach the world. And he chose Israel for that task. And Paul is going to show us how Israel failed at that task. They rejected him. They missed the point. Look at verse 6. Not as though the word of God hath taken none effect, for they are not all Israel, which are of Israel. Neither because they are of the seed of Abraham are they all children, but in Isaac shall thy seed be called. He's going to draw a line here. You have the physical nation of Israel, but then there's a spiritual aspect. They are not all Israel. They're not all Israel, which are of Israel. So he has the people who are born through the line of Abraham. They are the Jews physically. But there's a seed, a spiritual seed. This idea that those who are just born into Abraham's family are not of this spiritual seed. Something needs to happen. Look at verse 8. That is, they which are the children of the flesh, physical, these are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted for the seed. If you look on the screen, look at Genesis 21:12 says, and God said unto Abraham, let it not be grievous in thy sight because of the lad and because of the bondwoman. In all that Sarah hath said unto thee, hearken unto her voice, for in Isaac shall thy seed be called. This seed would be the promised seed in which the Messiah would come. A spiritual line would come through. You have those who are born physically, but he's talking about something more than just the physical nature of the Jews. When you see this, when you understand this, it will blow your mind. It will blow your mind. The end of verse 8 says, the children of the promise was through Isaac, through his seed. The promise are counted for the seed. For this is the word of the promise. At this time will I come, and Sarah shall have a son, Isaac. Not only this, but when Rebekah also had conceived by one, even by our father Isaac. For the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God, according to election, might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth. It was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. Take your attention to the screen. The promise given to Abraham says, now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, the Jewish nation. And I will bless thee, make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. I got water this week. Praise the Lord. He says, in thee, in Abraham, in his loins would all the families of the earth be blessed. In thee, through his seed. The promise that would come through Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob. Now, God had foreordained that this would happen. You see, a lot of people like to take the scriptures that I'm about to go into and say that God just picks and chooses certain people to be saved, certain people not to be saved. Well, if you look at it that way, you're not getting the point of what Paul is bringing across. Paul is making a distinguishing factor between the physical Jew and the spiritual Jew, those who will believe something. That's why when he says, Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated, Jacob would be the one that the promise would come through. Genesis 15, verse 6, look on the screen, says, and he, this is Abraham, believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. You see, this promise to Abraham was a promise of faith. Abraham had to believe it. And the promise would carry on that way through faith. So when it got to Isaac, Isaac had to believe it. Jacob had to believe it. It was a promise not under the law. This was before the law ever came, the law of Moses. Look at chapter 9, verse 14. Look at your Bible. Says, what shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. You notice my quote on the screen says, Paul asked this knowing the point would be misunderstood. Not all flesh Israel would be saved, but all who believe in the promise would be saved. You think of Galatians 3, verse 28 says, verse 26 says, for ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Those who are children of God are not those who are born into this world in their flesh, but they're the ones who believe in Jesus Christ. So if a Jew recognized their Messiah as Jesus Christ and believed in him, they would be a part of the promised seed. And he's going to dive into showing how the Gentiles would be a part of the promised seed. But just because the Jew was born and they are of Abraham does not mean they are part of the promise. OK, you see, he's drawing a line here. If you look at verse 15, Paul's going to quote a lot of scripture here. For he says to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then, it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. That's a quote from on a screen. Exodus 33:19 says, and he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee. And I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. You need to remember the overarching point of God and his purpose and through Jesus Christ is that of redemption. OK, but it's up to the individual whether or not he will believe what God is trying to get across. See, a lot of people, particularly those of the Calvinist camp, like to look at Pharaoh and say that God made Pharaoh do what he did. God made Pharaoh reject him. No, Pharaoh had a choice and he chose to reject God. But you see, God would use that rejection for his ultimate goal, redemption. And it would be through Moses out of the land. He would redeem them. Look at verse 17 of chapter 9 of Romans. For the scripture says unto Pharaoh, even for this same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. Therefore hath he mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he will he hardeneth. Thou wilt say then unto me, why doth he yet find fault? For who hath resisted his will? Here's Paul's response. Nay, but O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? Hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor? What if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction, and that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, which he had afore prepared unto glory? Attention to the screen. The rest of Exodus says, and in very deed for this cause have I raised thee up, for to show in thee my power, and that my name may be declared throughout all the earth. You see the point. His name would be declared throughout all the earth. The knowledge of God would go throughout all the earth. Attention to the screen. Esau, remember, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. Esau rejected his birthright. Esau chose. The line would come through Jacob, this promised seed. Pharaoh rejected Moses. He rejected God. They chose. Israel, and this is the point. Point number three. This is the point Paul is trying to make. Israel similarly rejected their God through sin and idol worship. Israel rejected it. Yet, God, knowing these things in advance, he uses these things. He used Pharaoh. He used his rejection. That's why God would harden his heart again. And at the 10th plague, we see the great picture of the Passover, of redemption through blood. And Israel would be brought out of the land. And similarly, you and I would have redemption through blood and be brought out of something into another thing. He even desires they change their mind. You see, God wanted Esau. I know not if Esau believed in the Messiah, but he would want Esau to believe. He wanted Pharaoh to believe. He wanted all of Israel to believe. His whole purpose was redemption. He would use the nation of Israel to reach the rest of the world. And even though they rejected him, he would use them to reach the rest of the world. This is what's amazing about it. Look at verse 24. Even us, whom he hath called, not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles. Here are you. Raise your hand in the room if you are a Jew. I see one. Yay! Yay! Raise your hand if you are a Gentile. That means you are not a Jew. Okay, every hand went up. You're over the live stream. Yeah. Okay. Gentile. We are a Gentile. Now, the Jewish nation rejected Jesus Christ. Come onto the scene. This idea Paul is going to show us. The Gentile, you will have a responsibility. Look at verse 25. As he saith also in OC, that means Hosea, I will call them my people, which were not my people, and her beloved, which was not beloved. I wanted to make this point regarding those verses before. These verses in Romans 9 are not Calvinistic proof texts, meaning God sends some to heaven, God sends some to hell. But they show us the love and mercy of God in that he desires to reach the whole world. Israel failed, and he would use that failure to reach the Gentiles. Israel was supposed to be the entity to reach the whole world, but they weren't. They failed. They stumbled at the stumbling stone. Christ is that rock. They, through the scriptures, they were supposed to know that a Messiah would come and pay for all the sins of all the world, and they were supposed to be the light bearers of that word to the nations of the world, to you and me. That was the goal. They rejected Christ, their Messiah. They are still looking for a Messiah to come as a king in power and authority. But they missed the purpose. As I talked about last week, they missed the Isaiah 53 suffering servant who would die and pay for all the sins of all the world, of all time. How the Gentiles, the kings, would shut their mouths at him when they see it happening. That this individual would come and shed his blood for all the sins of all the world. The Jewish nation missed it. And here is what we have. God will go to the Gentiles. Hosea 2:23, Paul quoted this. And I will sow her unto me in the earth, and I will have mercy upon her that had not obtained mercy. I will say to them which were not my people, thou art my people. They shall say, thou art my God. The Jewish nation was his people that he chose, but they rejected him. So now you, Gentile, are the people he would go to. They were not my people, but he will say, thou art my people. And remember, this promise would be of faith, so that Jew or Gentile could receive the promise by faith. Continuing on, if you look at verse 26, and it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, you are not my people, there shall they be called the children of the living God. If you pay attention to the screen, yet the number of the children of Israel shall be as the sand of the sea, which cannot be measured nor numbered. And it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, you are not my people, there it shall be said unto them, you are the sons of the living God. This promise would make its way to the Gentiles, all the way to us. Verse 28 in your Bible, 27. Isaiah also crieth concerning Israel. Though the number of the children of Israel be as the sand of the sea, a remnant shall be saved. For he will finish the work, cut it short in righteousness, because a short work will the Lord make upon the earth. We're going through chapter 9 quickly, because I want to get to chapter 10. But there's a point to be made here. The Israel nation, the Jewish nation, rejected God. They stumbled at what God's plan was. But God was going to use that fall, that stumbling, to still reach the world. Because you remember the overarching point. God is a God of redemption, a God of love. Yes, he is a holy, righteous judge. But the overarching point is God wanted to reach the world. He used Pharaoh to get his name out. And he was going to use something else to get his name out throughout all the world. There's a quote from Isaiah. You notice how much Paul is quoting the Old Testament. Verse 9 of Isaiah 1 says, except the Lord of hosts had left unto us a very small remnant, we should have been as Sodom. We should have been like unto Gomorrah. The remnant is the children of the promise by faith, Jew and Gentile by faith in the coming Messiah, if they were before, and we look back to the Messiah. The remnant, those who would be of this promised seed by faith. You see, one of the issues that Paul is going to address is since the nation of Israel was given the law and the tabernacle and the covenants and all these things that they were to do, one of their main problems was that they put those things out of the correct placement. You see, the promise by faith was before the law. The law came for a purpose, but the law was never to save anyone. Keeping the Ten Commandments would never save anyone. If you don't realize, there's 613 of them. But those never save anyone. Keeping the law would never save. But Israel stumbled. They messed up. They got the law in the way. Their tradition in the way. They put other things above God, above the promise of faith. And they stumbled, and they thought that their righteousness would be by keeping the law, doing good deeds, as we like to say, being a good person. They thought they would obtain their righteousness from those things. But God's promise of righteousness would be through faith. And it would be through anyone who believe in Him. The children of the promise by faith. Look now at verse 30. Here's a conclusion of chapter 9. What shall we say then? Question mark. That the Gentiles, which followed not after righteousness, have attained to righteousness, even the righteousness which is of faith. But Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, they were given it. They were given it. They were given the word. Remember? Israel, which did follow after the law of righteousness, hath not attained to the law of righteousness. Wherefore, why not? Why didn't Israel attain to it? Look, he answers it in verse 32. Wherefore, because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by the works of the law. For they stumbled at that stumbling stone. As it is written, behold, I lay in Sion a stumbling stone and rock of offense, and whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. The initial promise given to Abraham was that Abraham would believe God. There was a great picture given to Abraham. So wonderful. He used Abraham's culture to illustrate this picture. That God would put Abraham to sleep. See, Abraham was told before this to go get you some animals, Abraham. I don't recall the animals. Cut them in half and lay them out. Lay them out before you. Some on this side, some on this side. Almost like you picture some animals cut in half on that little walkway right there, the aisle. These animals split in half, blood on the ground. And he was going to make a covenant, a promise with Abraham. And apparently the culture of that day was that the two individuals that walked down would walk through, and that was a promise made to one another. And if you broke the promise, what was done to those animals would be done to you. Split in half. But God put Abraham to sleep before he ever walked through. And God walked through himself. And God was promising to Abraham, and all Abraham had to do was believe it. And if God broke that promise to God, what a promise. What a promise. By faith. And that's why it says in Genesis 15:6, Abraham believed God, and it was counted to Abraham for righteousness. The remnant are those who believe God. It is counted to them for righteousness. So Israel, they missed this idea that it was by faith because they tried to keep the law for their righteousness. They missed the point. But God was going to use the fall of Israel to still reach the world. God is not done with Israel. He desires that they be saved. Clearly, Paul's sentiment is, I wish they would believe. I wish they would be saved. But God would use their stumbling so that they could reach the world. I have some points here on the screen. It says, Israel sought righteousness by the law. The Gentiles obtained righteousness by faith. Now, this doesn't account for all people. Like, people of both parties reject. People of both parties can believe. The whole point is that God would wish everyone would believe. Verse number three says, Israel did not obtain, and that they stumbled at the stumbling stone. They did not seek salvation by faith, but rather by the works of the law. Paul quotes these verses on the screen. Isaiah 8:14 says, and he shall be for a sanctuary, this is referring to God, but for a stone of stumbling and for a rock of offense to both the houses of Israel, for a gin and for a snare to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. Because they rejected him. They stumbled at the truth of which he was trying to bring. They knew the words of God, but they followed after their own self-righteousness. Isaiah 28:16 on the screen says, therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. Those who reject it stumble at it and miss it. Those who believe it are not ashamed. Those who believe it are counted for the promise, because the promise is by faith. Faith means believe. Those who believe. Chapter 10, verse 1. We're rolling right along, as Yankee likes to say. Moving and grooving. Romans 10, verse 1. Look at this. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. You see, when I was studying for this, just last night even, I was weeping. I was in tears because I understand what Paul is saying here. He wants his brothers to believe. He wants them to believe. I had an uncle who I had shared the gospel with long ago. I was probably 12 or 13 at the time, not long after I trusted Christ as Savior. And I wanted him so badly to believe. I had just understood it about a year or so ago myself, and I understood my responsibility to share the gospel. And I went to my uncle, not my uncle John, different uncle. But I went to my uncle, and he rejected it. He would not trust in Christ as Savior. And I wept. I wept right in front of him. But he just wouldn't understand it. He just wouldn't grasp it. All he had to do was believe it. The promise was to him. He could believe it, but he rejected it. And the same way Israel rejected God, their Savior, and Paul is crying out, I wish that they would believe it. I would go to hell if my brothers would believe. Wow, how beautiful. Verse 2, for I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. You remember last week, Hosea 4:6, the house of Israel was destroyed because of lack of knowledge. They didn't understand. They missed the point. Verse 3 says, for they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. Verse 4 says, for Christ is the end of the law of righteousness to everyone that what? Believeth. On your screen, he that believeth shall not make haste. You will not be ashamed if you believe. Israel did not believe, except for that remnant that did, that chose to. On the screen here, herein lies the root problem. Israel stumbled at the truth, and they did not believe it. Rather, they believed in their own self-righteousness through the keeping of laws and commandments. You know, when I studied this, I realized these chapters right here, they are particularly to the Jew, written to the Jew, pleading that they would trust in Christ as Savior. But this is the answer to all the false teaching out there. This is the answer to the Calvinist, to the Mormon, to the Jehovah's Witness. Christ is the end of the law of righteousness to everyone that believeth. The Jews set up the 613 commandments, which if it were even possible for a man to keep, would he be saved? They put those things in and they said, I'll trust in these things. I'm going to try to keep the law to be saved. The Calvinist says, I'm picked, not you. But you still got to have works on the back end to show that you're saved. You see, works for salvation was never the plan of God. From the Mormon to the Methodist to those according to their doctrine that believe works are required for salvation, false, false. Christ is the end of the law of righteousness to everyone that believeth. Anyone who does not submit themselves to the righteousness of God by faith is not saved. You have to believe in Jesus Christ to be saved. If you put anything on the front, if you put anything on the back of that, you're in error. You have missed it. And Israel, they really fumbled the ball. They put their idols above God. They put their sin above God. And they put the law way above what God had ever intended it for. No one was ever supposed to be saved by keeping the law. No one was ever supposed to be saved by doing good deeds. The initial promise was by faith alone. Verse 5 in Romans 10 says, for Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. See, the law is a yoke to those, because the law does nothing but point out what you're doing wrong. You're a sinner. This is why Jesus, when he spoke to the rich young ruler, as he is called, the rich young ruler, when he spoke to him, he said, well, you got to do this, son. You got to do this. And the rich young ruler says, well, I've done all these things from my youth. And Jesus looks at him and says, go and sell everything you have, rich man, if you will. And he walks away sorrowful because he realized, wow, that's a hard task. I'm rich. I don't want to get rid of all this. But Jesus is using the law to point out that you, sir, are a sinner. You need a savior. Me, Jesus, me is the savior. Paul is saying that Israel missed the savior. They looked to themselves for salvation. He says those that are under the law, you're going to live according to those things. Those are the things you're going to try to attain righteousness by. As we like to say, those are the things you're going to try to do to go to heaven. It's a yoke of bondage. Look what he says, verse 6. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise. Say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven? That is, to bring Christ down from above. Or, who shall descend into the deep? That is, to bring Christ again from the dead. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. To the screen, if verse 5 quotes this, Leviticus 18:5, you shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments, which if a man do, he shall live in them. There's a verse in Deuteronomy that says, cursed is the man that doeth not all things of the law to keep them. You see that in Galatians 3. We'll turn there in a moment. Deuteronomy 30 on the screen says, for this commandment which I command thee this day, it is not hidden from thee, neither is it afar off. It is not in heaven that thou shouldest say, who shall go up for us to heaven and bring it unto us that we may hear it and do it? Neither is it beyond the sea that thou shouldest say, who shall go over the sea for us and bring it to us that we may hear it and do it? But the word is very nigh, that means close unto thee, in your mouth and in your heart, that you may do it. See, Israel knew the word. Many of them, as I said last week, they memorized the whole first five books of the Bible. They knew the word of Moses like the back of their hand, top to bottom, through and through in Hebrew. They knew it. They knew it. But they missed who it was talking about. And Paul says, it's right there. It's in your mouth. You quote it every day, but you still don't know who it's talking about. And so when you get to verses 9 and 10, you see the point of Paul. So many people pull this out of its context and use it way out of proportion. Look at verse 9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Notice, before we explain that, point one on the screen. The law was required to be kept fully. God gave the law an expectation that they would obey. And if you did not, point two says, one is cursed if it is not kept fully. Deuteronomy 27. Remember, the initial promise of faith came before the law. The law came due to the transgression and sin. Look at Galatians 3 now. We'll go back to Romans. Hold your spot there. Look at Galatians 3. Quickly. This is so good. Paul is pleading and crying out. Galatians 3. He's crying out to the Israelites for them to be saved, that they would see the ultimate redemption that God would have for them. Galatians 3. Look at verse 6. Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Know you therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. Not just those who are born from Abraham physically. It's those who are of faith. They are counted for the promise. Verse 8. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. See, all the nations of the world, it doesn't matter who you are, you need to believe in the promise. And God's promise was someone would come and pay for all the sins of all the world, of all time as a done deal. And anyone who believed it would have salvation. Verse 10. Before we read that, anyone who believed it would be counted for the promise, Jew or Gentile. Verse 10 says, for as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. Point two on the screen. One is cursed if it is not kept fully. Verse 11. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident. For the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. The purpose of the law, you can go back to Romans. You can go back to Romans. The purpose of the law was to show us that we sin. You see, there was no given law of Moses before Abraham. Okay? Transgression ran rampant. Now, yes, there was death by sin. Okay? There was a consequence that you would die and you would be separated from God. In Jesus Christ. So if you don't believe in Jesus Christ, you wouldn't be counted for the promise. But the law was given because of the transgression, because of sin running rampant. Okay? So the law was given so that it would point to a Savior, because the law does nothing but show us that we are sinners. That's why it says the man will live by them. See, in the law, one moment. In the law, it's a yoke of bondage, okay? You're bound by the law. Salvation was never intended by the law. It was by faith. So the law was given for the purpose of showing you that you sin and you need a Savior. And Israel missed that point. That was the whole purpose of the law. It was never given so that if you keep it, you'll be saved. It was given to show you that you need a Savior, okay? Paul calls it a schoolmaster in Galatians 3. He says to point you to Christ. Look now at verse 9 and 10 again. It says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Habakkuk 2:4 says, behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his what? Faith. Isaiah 49:23 before we get there. So the purpose of Romans 10:9-10, which so many pastors just love to use out of their context, is this. When you are confessing the Lord Jesus, that is not something where you are just saying your sin. You're rattling off at the mouth all your sin to God, and you go down in a prayer and saying, God, forgive me of my sin. I believe in Jesus Christ. I'm saved. No, that is not the point here. What Paul is trying to iterate is that the Jews needed to realize that Jesus Christ is the Lord and that they needed to believe in him. Okay, they needed to acknowledge that. They needed to come to an agreement with God that he is the Savior. And then it says, believe in your heart that God hath raised him from the dead. Because the Jews, they knew the word, but they didn't believe what it was actually saying. They didn't believe it. That's why he says in verse 10, the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. You're acknowledging it, therefore you believe it, therefore you are saved. Verse 11, for the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. On your screen, and thou shalt know that I am the Lord, for they shall not be ashamed that wait for me. In Isaiah 28:6, remember, whosoever believeth shall not make haste. You won't be ashamed. The promise is by faith to those who believe in the Messiah. On the screen, Paul wanted the Jews to acknowledge Jesus as the Savior. How can you believe in something that you have not even acknowledged to be true? All who recognize that Jesus is the Savior and believe in him are saved. That's why when he says in verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, that's Jesus, shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? The Jews never believed in Jesus Christ. So Paul is saying, it's him. He's right here. He just died on a cross for you. Believe in him. We're witnesses of it. Trust in him. Believe him. It's by faith. Your father Abraham believed it. Why won't you believe it? Keep reading. Verse 14. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Notice on your screen, another quote. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace, that bringeth good tidings of good, that publisheth salvation, that saith to Zion, thy God reigneth. Isaiah, that's written right before the servant would come and be killed, be prophesied that he would be killed for all the sins of all the world, that he would be rejected for the sins of the Jews and of the Gentiles. And anyone who would believe it would be counted for the promise. Look at verse 16. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? On the screen, who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? You remember, the overarching point of God was redemption, salvation. That's why the initial promise was by faith, because God knew that nobody could keep the law. He gave it with the expectation to keep it, but he knew no one could keep it. It would point to your sin. You are a sinner. I am a sinner. I need a Savior. He knew. And he says, who would believe? Who would just believe what I am showing them? It was so close to them. They recited the words every day. They still do it. I went to a Jewish Shabbat, the welcoming in of the Sabbath, and that's about all they do. Their services are just a lot of prayer and a lot of recitation, and they do the focusing on the word, and they recite, and it's constant scripture in Hebrew. I didn't know anything they were saying, but thankfully they had a side-by-side English-Hebrew Bible I could use. But they recite the word over and over and over, from all the way from Adam, all the way down the Psalms, throughout the Old Testament, and they know the word like the back of their hand, but they missed who it was about. So Isaiah's plea to them, and Paul is crying out to them, who hath believed our report? They put the law as the standard of their righteousness. But the truth is, Jesus Christ was to be the standard of righteousness. Look at verse 17 quickly. Not on the screen. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But I say, have they not heard? Referring to Israel. Yes, verily, their sound went into all the earth, and their words unto the end of the world. Look on the screen, Psalm 19:4, that's where he quoted. Their line is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun. The words of God are out. And Israel knew. Verse 19. But I say, did not Israel know? First, Moses says, I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people, and by a foolish nation I will anger you. On the screen, Deuteronomy 32:21 says, they have moved me to jealousy with that which is not God. They have provoked me to anger with their vanities, and I will move them to jealousy with those which are not a people, the Gentiles. I will provoke them to anger with a foolish nation, the Gentiles. You and I would come on the scene, and Paul is going to introduce that. How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of good tidings, that publisheth peace. In will come the Gentiles due to Israel's rejection of their Messiah. It says faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Israel knew the word, but they didn't hearken to it. They didn't believe it. Notice verse 20 says, but Isaiah is very bold and says, I was found of them that sought me not. I was made manifest unto them that asked not for me after me. But to Israel, he says, all day long I have stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people. On the screen, I am sought of them that asked not for me. I am found of them that sought me not, the Gentiles. I said, behold me unto a nation that was not called by my name. I have spread out my hands all the day unto a rebellious people, which walketh in a way that was not good after their own thoughts. God wants redemption. Israel rejected him, but God would still have redemption by using Israel's rejection to reach the world through a different entity. I'm going to summarize Romans 11 a little bit for sake of time. Notice on the screen, God has always wanted Israel to believe, to be saved. since they failed, God would use the Gentiles. The remnant are those of Jew and Gentile that seek the Lord by faith. It has always been by grace through faith. You see, if you go back to Galatians, quickly, go back to Galatians 12:43 in a church Bible. Notice in Galatians chapter 2, Paul is very, very good with his wording. He's a sharp student of the word. Makes it so clear in Galatians 2, look at verse 15. We, who are Jews by nature, and not sinners of the Gentiles, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. That's why the promise was by faith to Abraham. God knew the law would never justify anybody. You can go back to Romans. He knew the law would never justify anybody. It was by faith. Faith in the coming of the Messiah for Abraham, even all the way back to Adam, they had to believe ahead. Now you and I, we look back to Jesus Christ who's already come. We see that in Isaiah 53, he was that suffering servant that would die for all the sins of all the world. He would be pierced. He would hang on the tree. He took the curse for us. Jesus Christ, who had no sin, who was perfect, the ultimate redemption story of God, that he himself would take the curse for me on the tree, as it says in Galatians 3:10. Cursed for you and for me, as he died a bloody, terrible death on the cross for all of our sin. And Israel looks at that and scoffs at God. But the promise has always been by faith alone in Christ alone. God himself would bring salvation, as I reiterated over and over last week. He would do something after the manner of Egypt, just like the Passover when they put the blood on the doorposts, that God would pass over them. He would not take their firstborn son. He took those of Egypt, but those who believed his word, he passed over. And just as you and I, if we believe what he has done for us, trust in his word. Faith come by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. If you believe it, you receive everlasting life. And he looks at you and you are justified. You are declared righteous and you become a child of the promise in the line of faith, just as Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. You become a part of that promise by faith. You, the Gentiles, us ugly, stinking, rotten Gentiles would still become a... I'm just kidding. We would still become a part of that promise. And it's not how you look. It's not how you perform. It's not what you do or what you say. It's what you believe. Jesus Christ, that he died for you. And that's what Israel missed. But God would still use that to reach a lost and dying world. If you notice Romans chapter 11, I forgot the slide that was next. Romans 11, look at verse 1. We'll take a peek at this really quick. We have time. Romans 11, verse 1 says, I say then, hath God cast away his people? That means Israel. God forbid, for I also am an Israelite of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. Paul knew where he stood. God hath not cast away his people, which he foreknew. Wot ye not? Don't you know? That's what he's saying. Don't you know what the scripture says of Elijah, how he maketh intercession to God against Israel, saying, Lord, they have killed thy prophets and digged down thine altars, and I am left alone. They seek my life. But what saith the answer of God to him? I have reserved to myself 7,000 men which have not bowed the knee to Baal. Even so then, at this present time, also there is a remnant according to the election of grace. And if by grace, then is it no more of works? Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then is it no more grace? Otherwise, work is no more work. Ooh, that's a tongue twister right there, right? All right. But God elected that those who would believe in him would be saved. He says it's not by works, but it's by faith. It's by grace through faith. If it's by grace, then it is not of works. If it is by works, it is not of grace. That tongue twister, I think it's a great tongue twister for a very good cause. He's saying these two are not the same. Things that are different are not the same, right? They're different. We would be saved by grace, not by works. See, Israel thought they would be saved by their works, by their deeds. They needed to recognize Jesus saves them. And if they put their faith in him alone, they would have everlasting life. Quickly look at verse 11 of chapter 11. I say then, have they stumbled, Israel, that they should fall? God forbid. But rather through their fall, salvation is come unto the Gentiles, for to provoke them to jealousy. The whole point. See, Israel, they didn't have to reject him. Had they not rejected him, things would look a lot different. They would have been a light to the world, but they did. So through their fall, God would use that to reach the Gentiles and to spread out through all the world. But he still wants Israel to be saved. Notice verse 25 of the same chapter. For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part is happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. So he would use the Gentiles to now reach the world. Notice verse 32 quickly. For God hath concluded them all in unbelief, that he might have mercy upon all. You see, God's whole plan is redemption. Israel failed to recognize the true plan, the true purpose, the faith promise. Now the Gentiles, we picked up on this. Praise God for the apostles and the disciples, the men who gave their lives to get that message to us. Praise God for our, I was looking at our missionary wall today. I almost cried. As I was standing in the hallway, as Bob was doing his Sunday school, I was meditating on what I was going to talk about, and I almost wept. And I was reading what these missionaries were doing. Have you read those? Our missionaries whom we support, who some of them would be willing to give their lives to give the message to people like you and me across the world. Praise God for people like that. As Paul and Peter and James and John lost their lives to get the gospel message to us. And that God would look at me, a Gentile, a nation in whom he has not chosen, and say, I'm going to use you to reach the world. And now he looks at us, the Gentiles, but also the Jew by faith, those who are by faith. He looks at us who have believed. I'm going to use you to reach the world because my whole purpose was redemption. And you get in by faith in Jesus Christ. Attention to the screen. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, this is Romans 12. Don't just pick up somewhere random in Romans. The whole thing is very cohesive. He goes 9, 10, 11, 12 is there for a reason. Look at verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Wow, what a calling. What a calling. He's saying Israel rejected it. They failed. God had chosen them. They missed it. They did not believe, many of them. There were some that did, like in Elijah's day. They didn't bow to Baal. They didn't get their self-righteousness in the way. They believed God. But he set Israel, if you will, to the side because they rejected him. They stumbled. And now he goes unto us, the Gentiles, and he says, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. We, as the body of Christ, are now a chosen nation, a peculiar people, priests to bear the light of the gospel to the world. How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the good tidings of the gospel. And you and I have that privilege now. As Israel failed, and they could still be saved, oh, that the Jews would trust Christ. But he looks to the Gentiles, he looks to the nations of the world, a people who he never chose. And he says, if you put your faith in me, you're saved, but I have a calling for even you. You and you and you and you, all of you have a calling to preach the gospel of peace, the good tidings of Jesus Christ. Look at verse 2. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Put yourself in a way where you can get that message out. The whole purpose of God is redemption. That if anyone would hear the word and believe it, they would be saved. By faith alone in Christ alone. And Israel missed it, but God would use that to reach the rest of the world. And look how far the gospel has come. The good news of Jesus Christ. You and I have it today. Look over to Romans 13 really quick. And we're going to get into communion shortly after. Romans 13. Look at verse 8. Jesse spoke about these verses recently. And it blew me away, connecting this with my studies now. You notice how Israel sought after the law for their righteousness. But notice verse 8 says, "Owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law." Verse 10, "Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. And that knowing the time, and now that it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light." He's saying, prepare yourself to preach the gospel. Love is the fulfilling of the law. You fulfill the law through your love. And part of that love is sharing the gospel of Christ in that he loved us and shed his blood for us. And we have this calling. Notice on the screen, verse 1 Thessalonians 2:4 says, "But as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God which trieth our hearts." Romans 1:16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." We quote this every Sunday. "For it is the power of God and the salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." All the nations of the world, God's whole plan was to redeem them. And the only way you can be redeemed, the only way you can, as we say today, go to heaven when you die, is if you believe in what Jesus Christ has done for you on the cross. One last motivating factor. Last week I spoke through Isaiah. We have this message to preach to the whole world, the gospel, the good news. I want you to notice how Isaiah ends his book. "For as the new heavens and the new earth, which I will make, shall remain before me, saith the Lord, so shall your seed and your name remain." Those who believe will be a part of that new heaven and new earth. "And it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, from one Sabbath to another, shall all flesh come to worship before me, saith the Lord." We'll worship the Messiah, we'll worship Christ. "And they shall go forth and look upon the carcasses of the men that have transgressed against me. For their worms shall not die, neither shall their fire be quenched, and they shall be an abhorrent unto all flesh." That's a picture of hell fire. Ladies and gentlemen, we have a message, and the reason that Paul is crying out, "I beg you, brethren, present your bodies a living sacrifice. Be willing to get this message out. You have a responsibility. Those of you who have trusted in Jesus Christ as Savior, as Jude would say it, pulling them out of the flames. How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of good news, the good tidings. How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. How do you get in the family of God? How do you go to heaven when you die? How can you have the righteousness of God? If you believe in what Jesus Christ did for you on the cross. If you believe that suffering servant with the crown of thorns on his head, with the nails in his hands and in his feet, if you trust in him who shed his blood for you, your sin is paid for, you have everlasting life, you have the righteousness of God by faith. I rest my case, and I want to present to you this before we go into communion. If you have not believed in Jesus Christ as your Savior, I encourage you, do so. Let me represent something for you. I'll let my right hand represent you and I, Jew or Gentile, doesn't matter. We'll let the whole world be that hand. I'll let my little note page here be our sin. The Bible says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, Jew and Gentile. He hath included all under sin." The Bible says, "For all have sinned." And because of this sin, we deserve to go to that fire where it is not quenched. We deserve to die and go to hell. Be separated from God for all eternity. But God never wanted that. His whole point was redemption. His whole point was to love a people and so that they could go to heaven if they would just believe in him. He wants us in heaven, But the problem was our sin. From the day that Adam and Eve ate the fruit from the garden, they fell. They died. And now you and I bear that sin, and we deserve to die and go to hell. But he never wanted us to go there. It was never intended for us. And that's why he sent a Savior, Jesus Christ, who is perfect, who has no sin, God in the flesh. And despite how hard we try, despite how hard Israel tried with their self-righteousness, with their so-called good deeds that never pleased God, they could never pay for their own sin. God was upset with their self-righteousness. You and I cannot keep the law. We cannot do enough good deeds to get rid of our sin. That's why Jesus Christ came, the suffering servant, and he bare the weight of our sin on himself, and he died for all of our sin. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And he was buried in the tomb. 3 days later, he rose from the dead. All who believe in him, I'm talking to you if you have not believed, you over the live stream, if you have not believed, would you believe in him? Look what you get. Look. You get the righteousness of God applied to your account, just as Abraham. You get to go to heaven when you die. You have a home in heaven forever. Never be taken away from you. Just by believing in Jesus Christ. And you who have believed, part of this message was to you, how beautiful are the feet of you if you preach that message to the lost and dying world. We have a YouTube channel that just hit 1,000 subscribers. Praise the Lord. We're trying to reach people every day using a YouTube channel. We got people that go out on Saturday nights trying to reach people. We got missionaries trying to reach people. We got teachers faithfully teaching, trying to reach more people, trying to teach others so that they could reach more people. That's the whole purpose. God wanted to reach people, and he became a man in order to do it. He died for you, paid for all your sin. I want to go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll have the lights dimmed, and we will observe communion. Let's go to the Lord in prayer first, before we observe this. Every head is bowed and every eye is closed. And I want to ask a quick question to the crowd. Nobody's looking around. Every head is bowed and every eye is closed. And here's the question. If you have not believed in Jesus Christ, would you? Would you accept him? Would you believe in him as your Savior? He died for you. He paid for all your sin. Would you believe it? You in the audience, you over the live stream, would you believe in Jesus Christ? If you would, I simply want to know that. If you would raise your hand and let me know, yes, Trent, I believe that Jesus died for my sin for the first time. I'm believing in him. Anybody at all, if I raise hand and says, yes, Trent, I will trust in Christ as my Savior. Anybody at all? You over the live stream, if you want to believe that, you can click a little button that says, yeah, I'll believe that. I believe that Jesus died for me. That lets us know that you've done that. Those of you who have believed, I reiterate the point. Don't be ashamed of the gospel, but preach the good tidings of peace to the whole world. Heavenly Father, thank you for everyone who is here. Thank you that we can now observe communion, and I pray that you would bless us in this deed. In Jesus' name.